to the lesson today. At the end of the
appreciate the good songs and good spirit that I feel here this morning. And I was planning on having service this evening, but there's several that's not going to be able to make it. So we're going to just dismiss church tonight. Spend some time with mothers, if you will, and take her somewhere special maybe. And this morning I'm going to dedicate this sermon to mothers. And mothers is the glue that keeps everything together. And, well, I know we probably don't say enough about mothers, and they deserve really more than just one day a year. And if you still have your mother with you, you have something special. And my mother's went on, and my mother was a mess, but I miss my mess. And I'm sure some of you can relate. Sometimes I just have to say mother and shake my head. But she was still my mother, and I loved her. And she poured into me, and I am what I am because of her. And if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Judges, Judges chapter number 4. Be turning there if you will. By the time we get to Judges chapter 4, there have been four judges that have arose. And judges are the deliverers that God has appointed. And today I'm looking at the only woman that was a judge. Her name was Deborah. And Javan is the king of Canaan at this time. He was he has 900 chariots of iron. And for 20 years, he's oppressed the children of Israel. Judges chapter number 4 and verse number 4, I'll begin reading there. And it said, "And Deborah, the prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." And by the time we get to chapter number 5, if you'll turn there, verse number 1, this is a song that they sang. "And then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves." Verse number 6, "In the day of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied. The travelers walked through the byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased, and they ceased in Israel. Until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. And they chose new gods. And there was war in the gates, and there was a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel." The children of Israel was methodical in the fact that they would fall into idolatry worship. They would fall into wickedness. They would come under oppression, and they would ask God to deliver them, and God would deliver them, and God would miraculously free them, and then they would fall right back into the same situation. And we know that Ehud, a man with the left-handed dagger, we know that story. And then they fall back into the same stuff, and then God helps them again. You know, I appreciate the grace of God. But I don't want to keep falling back into the same thing that I fell into time and time again. I don't want to abuse the grace. I want to stay clear of the mistakes that I have made and keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling. I don't want to fall back into the same traps and the snares that the devil lays for me time and time again. I've never gotten over the grace that I am under. And then along comes Shamgar. And he takes the ox goad and slays 600 at one time. And then after Ehud has died, they go back into the same pattern. They destroy everything. And then God delivers and builds them back up again. It has gotten so bad that they had to walk the back roads, the byways. The Bible tells us in verse number 6. It said the highways were occupied, were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through the byways. It wasn't safe. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, and I arose a mother of Israel. There wasn't a spear seen among 40,000 in Israel. They had lost their desire, their willingness to fight. All of the hope that they had was gone until there was a mother that arose in Israel. Deborah today is regarded still as the mother of Israel. She's looked up to and she's revered. God raised up a mother. And not only was her name Deborah, but I read to you there in chapter number 4 that the tree that she sat under was also named Deborah. She called the general to come in and fight. She was a mother that knew her place. She said, "You've got a job to do, and if you don't do it," I'm just paraphrasing here, "if you don't do it, I will." Did you know the mother's the backbone of the home? I'll just be honest with you. There's things that I would have never done if it hadn't been for my wife. Saying, "You need to take care of this. You need to go and fight. You need to stand up." God knew that it took a mother to raise up Israel to go fight and to receive deliverance from the enemy. She knew her place as a mother was at home. Boy, it got quiet right there. Her place was to take care of Israel. Barak's place was to go in to fight the war. Let the fighters fight. Let the mothers stay home and pray. I've got just 2 points to the message this morning. The second point, I've already gave you the first point. The first point was Israel falling, God building them back up and falling again until he raised up a mother. The second point I have is the bee. You say, "Wait a minute, the bee's not mentioned anywhere in Scripture." You're right. But it is in a roundabout way. You see, Deborah has a dual meaning. The meaning Deborah, it means as one who speaks. She knew what to say. Listen to me, mothers. You need to know your Bible. When you speak, you need to stand on the authority of God's Word. This book will tell you how to raise your children. It'll give you instructions on how to discipline. It'll give you instructions on how to raise them up in the fear and admonition of a holy God. This book is your instruction, your roadmap to raising a family. It will tell you how to treat your husband. It'll show you your place in the home. And it'll also tell you when you're getting out of bounds. Deborah, she's not only the mother of Israel, but she is the queen bee. Well, I'm getting off on territory that I know a little bit about. You see, Deborah, the word Deborah means bee. And she's still the queen bee of Israel. And there's some characteristics that you can't make this stuff up. She's not the ruler of the hive. I'm talking about bees. Every hive has a queen. And there can only be one queen. But a lot of people doesn't understand that. She's not the ruler of the hive. The hive is a democracy. Mothers, you need to know your place. She's at the heart of the hive. And everything, husbands, if you hadn't figured this out, there's some lessons to learn from the bee. Everything in the hive revolves around the queen. You may be king of your castle, but the mother is the queen. Everything revolves around her. Now, maybe I've got some young married people in here. I'm giving you some instructions on a happy marriage. Everything revolves around the queen. Mother, you are the heart of the home. You are the heart of the church. You're the heart of the nation. Mom was the one in the home that carried the brunt of the load. Dad was out busy working, providing a living for the family, doing the things that men should be doing. But you know what? Mom was the one that kept the hive humming. She was the one that made sure that we said our prayers before we sat down to eat. Mom was the one that made sure we said our nighttime prayers before we went to sleep. Mom was the one that made sure that we had something on our backs to wear and shoes on our feet. The mother was the one that took care of us. She was the queen. Every day of your life, you have been benefited because of what your mother has placed inside of you. The hive does not exist without her. She literally builds the colony. The queen bee, she releases an aroma, pheromones that keep the hive humming and thriving. You know, interestingly enough, the communication of a bee is really something that is worth studying. And one way that they communicate is through odor. Sweet fragrance tells them certain things. Did you know bees don't have ears? I've looked at them and looked at them really close, and I've never seen an ear on a bee. But you know something? I can tell whenever I open a lid, and Rick can verify this. He's a beekeeper too. I can open a lid on a hive, and I know almost instantly if there's a queen inside of there. There's a roar. We call it a roar that hive makes that lets me know that mother is no longer home. It sounds different around our house after mama's gone. I no longer have the ability to pick up the phone and call mama and talk to her like I once did. There's an emptiness there that can never be filled because the queen is not in the house. There should be a roar in our nation to bring the queen back to the homes in America. What are you talking about? I'm talking about godly mothers that know how to pray. Godly mothers that know how to get down and get a burden for their children and the lost in the community. Mothers that know how to fast and know how to get a hold of God. And mothers that know how to shake beehive hairdos completely down. Bobby pins flying. You know what I'm talking about? We need some godly mothers back in America today. The queen is the only one that gives birth in the hive. I know there's other instances where some of the workers may get out of line, but I'm talking about the queen bee this morning. You see, the queen bee, she's a female. And I'm not going to get off on all the different pronouns, and that's for a different sermon. But all the workers in the hive are females also. But there's only one queen. She's the mother of every bee in that hive. The difference between her and all of the other workers that are females is she's been fed a little bit different from the time that she was hatched out as an egg and become larva. You see, the other bees in the colony, they feed her what is called royal jelly. Matter of fact, the queen bee, she rarely does she ever eat honey. But the tenants in that colony, they feed her royal jelly. Every bee in that colony that is her offspring have royal jelly flowing through their veins because of the mother, because of the queen bee. Mothers, don't ever stop pouring the gospel into your children. Don't ever give up reading them scripture. It may seem like that you're beating your head against a wall. It may seem like that it's not soaking in, but let me tell you something. Keep on keeping on. Give them instruction. They are the offspring of royalty. The queen. Sometimes she has to wage battle before she can ever give birth to her children. We just got through putting in over 400 queen cells just a few weeks ago. Don't fall out with me or get mad at me. It may sound a little bit cruel, Brother Robert, but I didn't know where the old queen was. We stuck a new cell in the hive and put a cell protector around it. Don't you like that when the Holy Ghost just seems to wrap you up and protect you? And that new queen cell, she'll hatch out. And because she hasn't mated yet, she's more agile. She's faster. She's more aggressive. She'll hunt down that old queen and she'll kill her before she can ever give birth. Can only be one queen in the hive. And you know, sometimes we have to wage war as mothers. I thought about the little mama hens and the baby chicks. A mama hen ain't a chicken. She's a mama hen. And some of y'all raised on the farm know what I'm talking about. There ain't no chicken in that chicken. She will flog you in a New York minute. But the same queen that gives birth, that gives life, that same stinger that comes out, that will kill, is the same stinger that lays the egg that gives life. Well, I'm feeling this. Sometimes we have to get in. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it hurts, mothers. Sometimes it breaks your heart to have to get onto your children and to discipline. But that's what the Word of God says that we have to do. It's not easy. The mother's job is not easy. It's a hard job. But sometimes we have to get the flesh of them little ones under subjection. I'll tell you what, my mother was good at it. The same word that will kill our enemy will raise your children. The bees communicate with sight. They communicate with vibration and with dancing. We are in a Pentecostal Holiness Church. I couldn't preach this at a Baptist. They have different dances that they do. They do a round dance. The purpose is to inform other bees of nectar that is in close proximity to the hive. You ever see a Holy Ghost church service break out and people get to dancing? Hey, I'm just telling you, it's feeling good up here. Go ahead and come on up and get some of this. I see the cleansing dance. The purpose is to ask for another bee for grooming. That's when the queen, she begins to stomp her feet and shakes her body, and the other bees come up and begin to clean and groom her. Sometimes men, if you'll take notice, sometimes your wife gets to acting a little strange. A pedicure may help. I'm just saying. A manicure won't hurt. Maybe show them a little bit of attention would be okay. They do a joy dance. The purpose is to celebrate. When a new queen emerges from her cell, she places her front legs on one another and pulses the abdomen up and down in the hive. That tells you that a new queen has just arrived. I tell you what, there's nothing like seeing a new mother that has just come into motherhood, and the expression upon her face and the glow that is about her because she has given life. There's just a difference. The queen also does an alarm dance. Its purpose is to warn others the danger when a food source is contaminated. You know, I've seen mothers my mother would say, son, we don't need to be doing that. That's not the way we act. That's not the way we talk. Son, as Christians, we don't go there. We don't partake of that. You know what Mother was doing? Mother knew that there was poison out there. She didn't want that brought back in our home. They do the tremble dance. It's to inform other bees that a large load of nectar has arrived in the hive for processing. You see, nectar is not honey. Nectar is nectar. It has to be dried down. If it does not dry down, then it becomes fermented in it. You sure don't want drunk bees. Even the bees know that alcohol is not permitted in the hive. They'll dry it down until it becomes stable enough that they can store it up for the winter. I could stop right there and preach. They do the shake dance. It's to inform the other bees in the hive, the foragers, where the nectar's at. They do the word dance. The purpose is to motivate the colony to lead the hive into swarm. This dance, the bee runs in zigzags and whirs and its wings and shakes its body. And some of you may have seen the hive swarm. That's when half of the colony leaves, and they'll leave with the old queen, and there'll be a new queen that raises up. They do the waggle dance. The waggle dance is probably one of the most common dances that they have that you'll see is they'll do a figure eight or two semicircles, and then they'll draw a line. They'll dance through that line to point the direction of the food source, the nectar, how far away it is, and the direction based upon the sun. Listen to me, ladies. Would you tell your children how far this sweet thing is that you have found? Tell them all about God's goodness and God's grace and God's love and where you found it and how far away it is and what you've had to do to get it. Base everything in your description upon the sun. It should not point to anything else, anyone else, but the Son of God. We have a responsibility to tell others of how sweet it is. As I was studying and I began to think about out there at the honey house where we extract the honey at, I've got usually about this time of the year, I'll start having anthills popping up everywhere. How many knows ants like something sweet? I don't know what kind of ants they are. I'm not an ant person. But I got to watching them little ants. And Brother Mike, they finally made their way up into the honey house. And I got to watching them. They found some honey that I had dropped on the floor. And those little ants, that little ant, he started back down to go back towards the anthill. And if you ever get a chance to watch ants, they're amazing. But he just sat there and just gorged himself on that honey. And I got to notice him as he was walking back, the other ants coming to meet him. Every ant that he come in contact with, he bumped their head. I'm talking hit hard. He'd go a little bit further, and here'd come another ant and bump his head. I thought, what in the world? Brother Robert, it got my curiosity up. So I followed this little ant. He walked back to the ant hill, but he didn't go back inside. He just sat there. And I got to noticing when the other ants was coming back, every one of them that passed him would bump him. Well, I had to do some studying. You know me, it don't take a whole lot to keep me entertained. So I got to studying about these ants. And every time that ant would bump another one on the head, he would leave a little bit of sweetness. That's what they was doing. He'd leave a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of honey for that next ant. And by the time that ant got back to the ant hill, he was just about out of sweetness. So as he was sitting there, and all the other ants was coming back, they was bumping him and giving him a little bit of sweetness back. Whew, I feel the Lord. Women, mothers, it may seem like that you have given and you have given and you have given and you poured into it, poured into your children, your family, your church. You poured into the community. You've been a mother to kids that was not even yours. But I can promise you this. When you get ready to step into the pearly gates of heaven, you'll end up with more sweetness than you ever gave out. And he'll say, just come on in. There are times the queen has to call all the bees into battle. That's why Deborah was named Deborah. She called for Barak into battle. The queen has a piping cry. You may say, well, what good does that do if the bees don't have ears to hear? They feel the vibrations. And by the way, you come too late to tell me there's not a God. I've said it before, you can never be a beekeeper and be an atheist. Did you know even the flowers talk? They communicate with the bees. Do you ever wonder why? I'm getting off on a rabbit trail, but that's okay. Do you ever wonder why a honeybee will go from one dandelion, fly over 15 other dandelions, and go to another one? The others are closer. They're not communicating with it. That flower, when it is ready to be pollinated, it will send out a sound wave that honeybee can hear, that it feels. And it says, here I am. And that honeybee knows which one to go to get the nectar and to pollinate that flower. But that queen, when she begins to pipe him, the hive knows that it's time to go into battle. We need some mothers in our day raised up that knows how to call the church into battle. That's what Deborah did. She was the queen bee of Israel, still known to this day as the queen of Israel. She called. She didn't go to battle. She called Barak. That's your job. But she knew her job. Her job was to get down and to pray, to seek the face of God, to cause a stirring and uprise in the nation of Israel. I tell you what, when we have mothers that will pray, things in the church will change. When we have mothers that will pray, children will get saved. The lost will come to repentance. Mothers have forgot their place. I'm not getting on to you this morning. I'm just trying to explain to you that we need some godly mothers back in the house of God. When they begin to pray, the queen begins to pipe. They feel something inside of them that they have never experienced from anything else that she has ever done. There's something about a mother's prayers that will stir the hype. Come back to the music, if you will. I've held you longer than I intended this morning. But I'll tell you this observation that I've observed. Any time that you have a thriving church, it's not because you have good singers. It's not because you have a good preacher. I'm proof of that. It's because you've got mothers that know how to pray. That's the secret to a successful church. That's the secret to living free of bondage and the chains that the enemy would like to come against us with. It's when we have mothers that pray. Mothers that keep the hive a humming. You know why that the majority of churches in America are on the decline? Because mothers are not doing their job in the home. Why are we not seeing young people, the retention rate of once they graduate high school and go to college and they never come back to church? I'll tell you why. It's because of the mother. Is no longer being the mother of the colony. It's time that we raise up some Deborahs in the church. Stand with me if you will. The altar's open. Maybe someone feels a need to pray this morning.